Hello there, and welcome back to the Producer Joe Show. This week's episode is a little bit late. We had some technical difficulties earlier in the week, so we're going to do it right now. Again, thank you for taking the time to watch this. If you haven't already, please subscribe, YouTube and otherwise. We're having a lot of fun here, and there's a lot of fun still to be had. So here, we're just going to get right into it now. My guest today is a very accomplished actor and much more than that. And that's things that we're going to be touching on. So here we go. I'm going to welcome to the stage actor Mark Christopher Lawrence. Hello there, buddy.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Good, man. Good. I appreciate you coming on here. So we have some of the same circles, you know, the stand-up comedy. I had told you previously that spent many days up at the Comedy Store up in Hollywood with my old pal, Jeff Scott, the house pianist. He was for 25 years, and he passed away a couple years ago. And it's just such a special place up there, and I learned so much about stand-up comedy. And I am not funny myself, so I'm not even going to try that here. But tell me about yourself. What are your beginnings, and how did you come about to becoming a stand-up comic and then an actor?
Well, I had a 10th grade English teacher that got me involved in speech. She talked me into coming to her fifth grade speech class, and then at that point told me that I couldn't pass the class unless I went to tournaments. And, you know, really helped me because I ended up with a scholarship to USC. But that same year, I think I was in the 10th grade, and then the next year I made the state tournament for speech, and then my senior year made it to state and nationals. And she brought in a former student to coach me for one of my oral interpretation of literature pieces for the national tournament. And he was influential in talking me into doing stand-up, he and my good friend Lennon, who's like a brother to me. So did a show for him at USC called Dare You to Laugh. No, called Evening of Soul. And then Lennon said, we should go to the Comedy Store and get you on stage at the Comedy Store. And Louis Anderson saw me and said, hey, you got something there, kid. Keep writing. And that was the beginning of it. I was in the 11th grade.
That's a pretty good place to start, I would have to say.
Yeah.
What, as far as stand-up comedy goes, what would you say are some of the best parts of it? And maybe, is there a downside to it? I know that I've seen a couple of stories that go either way on that one.
Well, I think the best part is that you affect people in real time. You know, you they either love you or hate you or are indifferent, but you know right now whether you suck or not. You can try to fix it for tomorrow, and and I think, you know, because of the way the world is now, it's good to be able to affect people in real time and make them laugh and sort of take people away from the day-to-day minutia of garbage that comes at us.
Yeah.
And then if there's a downside, I think for me, the downside is, you know, just the actual wokeness that people feel that they need to express, you know, about your act or whatever. And it's like, I'm kind of in that Miles Davis thing. It's like, if it makes me laugh, it's okay. And I think that we should be able to point stuff out and not worry that people are going to be offended by something that we're drawing attention to. A lot of times people misunderstand the joke and they think that we're making fun or light of a situation, and really we're just kind of pointing stuff out.
You know, out of all the years that I did go to the Comedy Store, I think that was my biggest takeaway, because, you know, you can go to the mall, you can go to the grocery store, and there's just certain things that you don't say. But I learned that when you go to a comedy show, you should just go in there with all expectations or no expectations and just enjoy yourself and don't take anything personally, because they are there, you are there to entertain, and it's nothing more, it's nothing hurtful, it's nothing slanderous. I saw a comedian up there who absolutely emptied the main room at the Comedy Store. Brian Holtzman, who was one of the funniest men I have ever seen in my life, he emptied the room. And it's just, you know, people being sensitive, you know. Now he does a whole bit about walkouts, and he has somebody follow them and say, why did you walk out? People should go there and just have a good time, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So where did you get your acting chops from? I know you kind of touched on it, but
yeah, that same English teacher, you know, she put me in a play in high school in 10th grade. And we took the play, it was Bus Stop. And we took the play to the Compton Unified School District Literary Olympiad. And I won Best Actor for playing the learned professor in Bus Stop. And that was my first experience with acting, I think, outside of like being a little kid at church doing a play, playing a tree in some production. But that was my first real experience.
Yeah, I mean, kudos to you, because I know when I was younger and they tried to put me up on a stage, I became catatonic. And even at church, you know, the Monsignor called me up there and I ran out crying, you know. But I think that's probably why I like to do the production stuff, the behind the scenes stuff. The fact that I'm on a camera right now is a huge step in my life. And the fact that you can do things like that, I look up to you, because it takes a lot of courage, in my opinion. And you're really good at it. I'll just keep doing the little bit here, but I'll just keep doing the production stuff.
That's funny. It's like, you know, people often will say, you know, comedy is so hard. But I think, you know, it's harder to be a singer, because with comedy, you know, you tell a bad joke, boom, you're right into another one. You know, you got 3, 4, 5 minutes of bad song.
Right. Right. How were you on crowd work? It is one of my favorite things to watch. Rick Ingram was probably the best I ever saw up at the store. Like, if somebody is offended or whatever by what you say, are you able to battle back politely or maybe not politely?
Yeah, I can battle back. I like to just do my stuff. I mean, that's the whole point of, you know, staying up in the middle of the night writing jokes, is so that you can let people hear them. And typically, if I'm doing crowd work, it's because I'm hosting a show that I'm producing. And I'll do crowd work in the beginning just to warm them up and, you know, not do a lot of structured material. But when I'm headlining or featuring, then I'm trying to just do the jokes that I wrote, you know. And if you happen to try to jump in and help me, then I let you know that you weren't there when I was writing the joke.
Right. No, that's great. So you mentioned producing, and that was one of the monikers I had for you: actor, comedian, and producer. Tell me about your producing.
It started, you know, years ago. I at the Los Angeles Theater Center, you know, me and some friends, we were part of what we formed the Black Theater Artist Workshop at the Los Angeles Theater Center when it was up and thriving in the 80s. And then from there, I started producing some comedy shows, and I'm still producing comedy shows. And, you know, right now I'm working with some partners and we're trying to get TV and film done. So just plugging away at it. I mean, the hardest part of producing is finding somebody willing to give you their money to do it.
Well, I have to say, if I keep looking away, it's not you. You know, I am producing my own show here, so I'm taking notes or I'm pushing buttons, but I am listening to you. And
yeah, no worries.
You got my attention here. So let's talk about screen acting. I pulled up your IMDb here, and I'm seeing Designing Women was perhaps your first.
No.
On screen.
No. No. My
first. Well, I'm not going to this website anymore. It's not IMDb.
IMDb doesn't even have everything that I've done because I started before there was internet. And some of those producers from those early shows that I did, you know, their content has never been updated on IMDb. My first audition for TV was Hill Street Blues. Oh. And it was my first audition, and I got the job. That was my first job. And then I didn't work in TV or film for a year. And then my next job in the industry outside of theater was Caddyshack 2. And, you know, had a small role in there. And you know, just continued to work. You know, so the mid-80s through 90s, I worked a lot in television sitcoms mostly.
Yeah, I'm seeing here Coach, which was a great show. I mean, Seinfeld in Living Color?
Did a couple of Seinfelds. In Living Color, I played Mr. T. And that's when I started shaving my head because I cut my head. They cut my hair into a mohawk. And then after it was over, I just had him shave it. And then I was doing a play at the same time at the Los Angeles Theater Center. And the director liked it. He's like, hey, let's keep that. And then when the play was over a couple months later, I started growing my afro back. And I had a big hole in my afro. So this became the look.
Well, that's a good story. I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, your resume is just outstanding. Terminator 2, Child's Play 3. You know, this brought me back to, I mean, you're part of several franchises, huge franchises. You're part of the Terminator, Caddyshack, Child's Play. I mean, you're part of some pretty big franchises, and I think that's just fantastic. Third Rock from the Sun, what a great show.
Yeah, Lithgow was, before I became an actor, Lithgow was, I think, the first actor that, you know, me as an audience member, I noticed and was like, wow, he is so good. He was in, it was Terms of Endearment. Mm-hmm. And he was so good. It was a small role, but he was so believable to me and a standout. And I told him that when I worked with him on Third Rock. And he was like so gracious and, you know, gave me a hug and said, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And he drew a doodle for me. And I got it in storage somewhere. I have to dig it out sometime and frame it. But just such a brilliant actor, you know, comedically and dramatically, and like he has a 6-episode arc on Dexter.
Yes. And, oh my gosh. Yes.
And you first see him, and he's such a nice guy. He's bringing this lady's dog back, and then the next time you see her, she's bleeding out in a tub.
Yeah, he's something else, man. I mean, I think the first time he really came onto my radar was probably World According to Garp with Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Such a versatile actor.
Yeah.
A couple family favorites here, Malcolm in the Middle, which is making a resurgence, by the way.
Yeah, interesting.
Just bringing that back. Here's one, Yes, Dear. That's something me and my kids watched all the time. I hope this is correct here. Emeril? Were you on Emeril?
Yeah, Emeril had a sitcom for a season. I think they did 13 episodes. And it was a show about his show, his cooking show. And I was the love interest of his showrunner on the show, who was Sherry Shepherd.
Guess I don't remember that show. That's
interesting. Well, I'll tell you the thing I remember about it was that I remember that Wednesday walking into work and smelling food. And he had this kitchen set up, you know, in one of the back rooms, and he had a sous chef with him, and they were cooking lunch for everybody.
Oh my God.
it was catfish and collard greens and the whole nine.
Woo.
And after lunch, everybody was all lethargic, and the director was like, why don't everybody just go home and we'll pick it up again tomorrow?
Right. Oh my gosh. What? I would have loved to have been there. One of my favorite Christmas movies, Christmas with the Cranks with Tim Allen.
Tim Allen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really great fun. And, you know, they built a neighborhood studio out in Downey to shoot that movie. So that whole little neighborhood they built for that movie, and that company used it for 10 years and then let Downey have it so they could use it. And Downey sold it to Walmart, who flattened it, and which is just the dumbest thing I ever thought. So now there's a Walmart there instead of a studio.
That's wild. It's kind of like Warner Brothers tearing down their whole back lot. I mean, I'm sure it's a good idea, but man, there was a lot of great sets on that property.
Well, that property was used to be the Warner Brothers Ranch. So back in the old days, you know, all these Westerns and stuff had been shooting out there. And then so as time went by and they needed different things, they would put up different facades and different, you know, apartment buildings and the like. But I think they're supposed to be making it way better than it is, than it was before they start tearing it down.
Well, that's good to hear. Malcolm in the Middle, I believe, was filmed there as well.
Yeah, when we shot in Malcolm, we shot on location. We were way out in near Lancaster, I think it was, near Magic Mountain, and it was hot that day. And I remember stepping on the yellow line in the middle of the street, and it moved. That's how hot it was.
Jeez. Yeah, that's no fun. You know, I'm going to talk on Chuck here a little bit because you certainly, I believe you had 67 episodes under your belt on that one.
Maybe more.
Maybe more. Wow. Well, again, I can't trust this.
Yeah, we did all five seasons. First season was short because the writer's strike. So we shot 13 episodes. I was in all 13 of those. And then I think I did 7 of 10 each season after that. And maybe a couple of extra ones.
Yeah. Right. That's great. You were in a show that was at least partially filmed here, and I'm a huge baseball fan. I mean, Pitch, you're right. I was about to go into a little diatribe on baseball right now, but let's get into that another day. A little upset with some baseball right now. But Pitch, yeah, filmed right here in San Diego. Mark Paul Gossier, the dad, Dan, from The Wonder Years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fun show.
Yeah, it was a great show, great idea. And at the time, my San Diego chiropractor at the time was working with a young lady who was in the minor leagues. And there's a guy who's like the quarterback guru who most of these major superstar quarterbacks go to. He also works with pitchers. So my chiropractor and that guy was working with this young lady because she was in the minor leagues throwing about, 90 miles an hour.
Wow.
But she had a lot of junk and she could put it and she could place it. And they were helping her with her control and helping her with her speed. So I thought Pitch was very timely because of that. And I was hoping that it would keep going because it was really an interesting show to watch.
Yeah, I remember before I learned anything about it, I was driving downtown and all these buses were going downtown and they were going to do production. So I looked it up and I'm like, cool, right on. I like it when San Diego gets into this because, with Stu Siegel back in the day, they had Silk Stockings and a bunch of other Renegade, and
yeah,
it'd be good to have that back again.
There's really Stu Siegel at that time was the only real studio here. Spark Studio Soundstage is really the only place here where if you wanted to shoot something with some soundproofing, it's really the only game in town right now. And I think more people should learn about it and go over there and shoot because it's Leo, who owns it, Encore Event Center is on the same property. Leo owns that and really trying to get it up and going, getting some work, coming back to San Diego. So if you're a producer and you want some place to shoot in San Diego, hit up Spark Studio Soundstage.
Yeah, I'd love to see that boom come back. That was huge.
Yeah.
I forgot to pull this picture up earlier. There's Big Mike right there. Yeah.
Yep.
My ADHD is starting to kick in. It's right about that time, about 20 minutes. So my name is Earl. Fantastic show. Incredible writing.
Yeah.
Tell me about your experience on that.
So I had worked with the director before, and he's also one of the producers, Garcia, Greg Garcia.
Yeah.
And when they hired me, we went to shoot, and it was out in Pacoima. And a really seedy part of Pacoima is like, I grew up in Compton and I was like in Pacoima going, hey, this could be some trouble. And me and Giovanni Ribisi were standing there talking. And all of a sudden from across the street, we see this giant lens poke out from behind a telephone pole. And I said to Giovanni, I said, hey, you see that lens over there? I said, there's paparazzi over there taking pictures of us. I said, you know what the caption is going to be because we're in this neighborhood is that I'm a drug dealer and you have a problem. he said it wouldn't be the first time.
I'm trying to picture paparazzi in Pacoima. Boy, that's got a catchy tune to it, but I guess they'll just go anywhere then, won't they?
Absolutely. Well, I to bring that forward, I worked on a show called Sprung out in Pittsburgh with Greg Garcia, who was the showrunner on that, and had a great time. It's like he's really his style is really, really good. Sprung sort of has that same sort of gritty feel as My Name Is Earl. And it was great working with Greg again on that. So I think that was my third time working with him. Yeah,
I think Greg is from The Office. Is that correct?
I don't know.
Yeah, wow. A lot of people came from that, especially Mike Schur, who now does The Good Place and a bunch of other great shows.
Yeah, I think My Name Is Earl might have came before The Office.
Yeah, I think it did. Such a fantastic show. The writing is, and the casting is absolutely perfect. Hey, Crabman. Yeah. Crabman is one of my favorite characters on television of all time, by the way. I follow him on Instagram. He's funny. So let's bring it to right now. Talk to me about In the Cards.
In the Cards is just a one-day shoot that I did for a friend out in Oklahoma. This young lady, she has won a bunch of awards and is really about to blow up. Christina is, so keep on the lookout for it. Nice. Yeah.
Well, now I wanted to bring up also that how I came to know you is through a friend, Chris Carmichael. He bought a cameo for me for you to do, and it was for my birthday a few years ago, and I just wanted to give my buddy Chris Carmichael a shout out there. And if you guys ever want to do a cameo, just look for Mark Christopher Lawrence. He's really funny. He's really good. Now, every now and then you do Comic-Con here. Is that correct?
When I was on the show Chuck, we were there every year. But me and my crew, we every year shoot stuff for the Geek Roundtable. And in fact, this past Comic-Con, we were on the Cielo Bar rooftop and did a podcast from there, and had a bunch of folks pop in and check us out. But normally we do some man on the street stuff. We walk the floor and do man on the street interviews. But it started getting to the point where I couldn't really navigate through there without getting mobbed every now and again. So that's when we started saying, okay, we got to find something stationary. So we ended up doing the Cielo Bar rooftop this year.
It's already mob as it is, let alone if you are a person of note. I can't imagine navigating through there. I remember once Mark Hamill walked by me and I was like, how did he even get, from that door to here, that right. quickly? But what a fun place. I used to work for Comic-Con and what a great time and really fantastic for the city. And they just re-upped for a couple more years.
Oh, good. Comic-Con is San Diego's Super Bowl. It brings that much revenue to the city in Super Bowl proportions.
Well, especially now that Alex Spanos has taken our team away from San Diego. So
greed is something else, isn't it?
Greed is something else. He pays $1 a year for that rent up there. So anyway, I see on your little dealio there under your name, two-time Emmy Award nominated actor. Tell me about those.
One of them is for a little short film that was shot here in San Diego, and that was a lot of fun to work on. And it was my only time playing a character with some developmental issues. And then the other one was Stax, co-produced with Gerald Webb. And Gerald and I have been friends since he came here from Philly, and he's about to be unbearable because his team may win the Super Bowl. But it was his directorial debut, and Stax has won an incredible amount of awards for this little film, and I won a Daytime Emmy for it. Nominated for a Daytime Emmy for it.
That's fantastic. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, as an actor.
Do you have anything you'd like to promote? Do you have anything coming up? I know you're also a teacher, if you want to touch on that a little bit.
Well, I'd say if the only thing I really want to promote is find me on Dry Bar Comedy and you know watch my clips or watch my my special, Mark Christopher Lawrence Clean Out of Compton, and yeah, I teach acting. I have a few clients, acting clients that I work with. One of my clients was living here, but works for the Navy, and she is in Japan now, but has been doing a lot of work in Japan. So that was one of my clients that I work with today, but I also have some top comedic clients that I work with. It's you know, people feel like they're funny and they want to be funny. Yeah. And I just give people, you know, a way to work. So look, here's how you put it together. And so like in one session, I can have you, you know, with a beginning set. I mean, it'll probably need to be punched up, but you know, it's a beginning, somewhere to start. Cause a lot of people think, you know, because I'm funny with my friends, I'm funny. And you probably are, but your friends set you up. And as a comic, you have to set yourself up.
Well, a little bit of callback humor from what I said earlier in this show. Can you make me funny? No, I doubt it.
Well, I bet I could. I bet I could.
Well, I got the looks for it. So,
and it's not about making you funny. It's about getting you comfortable with telling your story.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you probably don't want me going up on stage and telling dad jokes for 10 minutes. So,
well,
I get the red light at that 1 minute.
Get you away from that.
So if they want to find you, they can go to markchristopherlawrence.com.
Mm-hmm.
They can find you on your website there.
Yeah, or you can send me a message from there, and I typically respond within a couple of days.
Excellent. And you're also on Instagram.
Yes, Mark Christopher
Lawrence.
You got
great content there. Absolutely.
And Cameo. I'm on Cameo. In fact, I just got a thing popped up on my screen just now. I have one that I have to do today.
Oh, let me check and see if I have one. Nope. Nobody wants me to do a cameo. So, anyways, I think I'm going to wrap this up here, buddy, unless there's anything else that you want to hit on.
No, I'm good to go. I just want to tell people to be kind to each other. I mean, we're living in a very interesting time right now. Be kind. A little grace goes a long way. And people are hurting, you know, from all the fires and all the stuff that's going on all around the country and the world. So
sure.
If there's something that you believe in, you know, if you got two or three extra dollars, throw it at it.
Yeah, I was going to mention that as well. For anybody up in Los Angeles who is affected by those fires, or even the fire that is now down here in southern San Diego, just stay safe. Mm-hmm. Be strong. That's brutal up there, man.
Yeah. Hug a fireman.
Right, well, huh?
I said hug a fireman.
Hug a fireman, absolutely. All right, buddy. Well, I'm going to cut you loose. I'm gonna wrap it up here. I appreciate you coming on again.
Thanks, Joe. It's good to see you, man. Hopefully I'll see you out in person somewhere.
Yeah, you might see me up at the comedy store one day if I can get past it. I mean, I'm telling you right now, Jeff Scott was an amazing man, and
yeah,
I miss him every day, and I haven't been able to go back to the comedy store yet, but you know, one day I will. He was good to me up there, and everybody was good to me up there. So,
well, you know, one thing about San Diego, we're a burgeoning hub of comedy. There's 6 full-time comedy clubs here. So, you know, get out and see some comedy, folks.
Yep. Absolutely. Adam Wasserman's got a new one opening up in North County Fair. Moving it anyways. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, buddy. Well, I'm going to cut you loose. Enjoy your day.
Right. Thank you.
I'll catch you later, Mark.
All right. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right. Well, what a nice guy. Mark Christopher Lawrence. Very accomplished, as I like to say. So, anyways, I apologize for this podcast being late this week. We had some technical difficulties earlier in the week, but all is fixed now, and now it's in the books. So, if you're going to catch me next week, Tuesday evening, I will be joined by this gentleman. His name is Brian Perry. He has a YouTube show that Amy and I watch every single Sunday evening. He's got a really cool Jeopardy show. It's all Disney based. I don't know how he gets to use the Disney name, the Jeopardy name, the music. That'll probably be one of my questions to ask him. But it's a neat little 20, 25-minute watch. He's very structured. That's something big for me. So we will do that one on Tuesday evening. But other than that, you guys have a great afternoon, evening, night, morning, whatever, whenever you're watching this. And thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe. All right.